Welcome to the Deerfield Family Theater Podcast. In this season, we're talking with the cast and production team for Theater D's production of Noises Off. Speaking of Noises Off, in case you're tuning in and didn't already know, Theater D is putting on a performance of Noises Off this April of 2024. Performances start Friday, April 5th, and go through Sunday, April 14th. So while you're listening to this episode, visit theaterd.com and get your tickets. Without further delay, here's the interview. I'm thrilled to have with me today on the DFT podcast one of our cast members for the upcoming show Noises Off, our very own Alice Brown. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Matthew. Happy to be here.
Yeah, and we're happy to have you. And this will be, if you're listening to this when it goes live, this will be just a week before Noises Off performances start. So remember to go get your tickets at theaterd.com. Link in the show notes. But Alice, tell us a little bit about you. Who is Alice Brown?
Well, Alice Brown has been doing theater since her first play in seventh grade, and I love it. It is, for me, adult play. It's how adults who are creative, who want to collaborate, have fun, move into a trusting environment, get a chance to create something out of nothing. So I've been doing plays my whole life. My degree is in theater. I have not made my living at theater, but it has always been a huge part of my life. I met my husband in a play. So there you go.
Right. Worth it.
Yes, absolutely. When I'm not doing theater, I work for what is now called Endeavor Health, which is North Shore University Health System, Northwest Community, Edward Elmhurst, Swedish Hospital. We've merged and now we're one health system. So that's what I do when I'm not on stage.
Okay. But a theatrical family then, is your husband, does he still do stuff too?
Yes, he does. And, you're going to ask what's my favorite play. I would say it's probably the one that we're doing together at any point in time. Just because to share what you love the most with the person you love the most is amazing.
Yeah. Oh, wow. That's really something. And that you're both still able to do it, you know, even though your careers are in a different area, right?
Well, and that's the thing, Matthew. I keep thinking there's going to be attrition at some point. Maybe when I'm 90, I'll be the only person up for a role, and that's why I'll get it, you know?
Well, certainly, like we talked about this. I had Jeff Marr on the show, like, you do age into certain roles, are only available in a certain age bracket. It's true when you're young. It's true when you're middle aged. It's true when you're older. So there will always be roles for you, Alice, I'm sure.
That's absolutely right. In fact, I know you're going to ask about this, but my first role with Deerfield was back in the early 2000s. I was Peter in Peter Pan, and I flew, and it was the most amazing experience. But I have not been back to work with this incredible group of people since the following year. I also did The Wicked Witch and The Wizard of Oz. And then you know what, Matthew? Life happens. You get involved with other things. And I couldn't believe when I went to audition for Noises Off and I thought about when was the last time I saw Deb, our director? And it was so long and it was so wonderful because I walked into the audition and I was greeted with hugs and smiles and, oh my goodness, it couldn't have been a warmer welcome.
Yeah. Well, we're so thrilled to have you back. Was like flying on wires, was that like a thing that you did? Because I got to imagine The Wicked Witch. I mean, I didn't see that performance, but you're probably on wires there too, right?
No. That is The Witch. But as Peter Pan, yes.
Yeah.
I actually flew. And, that's one of the other things about theater. To me, it's, what is the new challenge that's going to present itself in the show that you're currently doing? And certainly, I'm trying to think back then, but I was probably about the age Mary Martin was when she did the TV version. And you may be too young to even remember that, but the TV version of Peter Pan. But it was so great to be able to do it. And of course, it was done in a safe environment. It was a vendor or someone who that's what they did, so it was very professional. There was no risk involved. It was amazing. So to have that experience is something.
Yeah. I mean, it's the kind of thing you'd think like at a summer camp for kids, going back to this is the play for adults is theater.
Absolutely. And it's funny coming back. I think about because it was in, I think it was 05 that I did Peter Pan. I'm trying to think. It was 05. So I'm thinking all those precious children that I worked with in 05, it's like you just wonder, where are they now? And I hope they're still enjoying theater, no matter what they're doing. Cute story. The following year, I told you I did The Wicked Witch, and Adam Sherman, who is in Noises Off, was the mayor of Munchkinland. Mm-hmm. And he came up to me at the audition, and he was like, "You probably don't remember me, but you were the Wicked Witch, and I was the mayor of Munchkinland." So that was kind of wild, man.
Yeah, yeah. And the power of community and community theater, too.
So beautiful. You know what? It's, yes, performing is wonderful. It's like a drug, right? That's what people will tell you. But to me, it's always been about the relationships that I'm able to form off stage, the trust. You know, that's the thing about theater, people. You can work in whatever industry you work in alongside someone for your entire career, but you may never have the amount of trust that you have when a bunch of people who don't know each other, or in this case, some of the people didn't know each other, come together. We've got a finite period of time to start from nothing and build something. Mm-hmm. And the trust and collaboration that is not seen on stage necessarily, but exists, that is a beautiful thing.
Yeah, yeah. You know, what's been great about this podcast is we've been able to have a lot of the behind-the-scenes folk on the show. And so longtime listeners know about, you know, what it means to be a stage manager, or a producer, or lights, or costumes, right? There's so much teamwork that goes along to putting on a show.
Incredible. In fact, you know, my degree in theater has taught me so much to apply in whatever field of work I'm in. And some of it is just that ability to pivot if something goes wrong, the ability to get along with others, to trust. And it isn't about you, it's about the entire team. So it's an amazing skill set for life, not just for when you're on stage.
Right, right. And even because we were talking about before we clicked record how, you know, this podcast we could edit in post, but live theater, something goes wrong, you got to go with the flow. You have to adapt. And like you in the real world, in a workplace environment, it's the same kind of thing. And not even just people on stage. The lights have to adapt. The sound has to adapt. Every single person involved has to adapt. And so that's a huge, huge takeaway to the real world.
Absolutely. And how? Because even though, again, just exactly what you said, it's a human endeavor, right? Mm-hmm. And by it being a human endeavor means it will never be exactly the same. No matter how set the process is, there's an element of something new entering the picture. And I guess that's part of the fun and the thrill of doing theater.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it is a thing I like to, I'm so glad you brought this up because I do like to ask about, you know, what are real world takeaways from being involved in theater? But we've covered so much of that. I'm curious to know even more specifically, like being in the healthcare industry, like, what is that like, you know, having this theater background, and how have you been able to find ways that you've studied? Because, you know, we get some parents that are like, I don't know, should I let my kid major in theater? Well, here's your chance to say why, even if you major in theater, you could still, you know, those skills are applicable elsewhere.
Okay, I'm going to do it then. Here's the thing. I think someone who chooses theater as a course of study is inherently a creative being. And I have been really lucky because my work life has always had that creative element. I channeled my creativity from theater into communications. Mm-hmm. So I have written my entire career. Now, it's always been for healthcare, but for me, that was a natural transition from theater. Preparing a role is similar to I'm about to interview someone. Now, Matthew, I never did podcasts, but I'm interviewing someone.
Yeah.
I need to get inside their head and figure out what makes them tick. Same thing you do when you prepare for a role. Mm-hmm. So that item, if you are a creative being and you get a degree in theater, there are a lot of avenues open to you. One of the other things is your presentation skills will be A++++++. You know, I get up in front of a room and teach leaders about how to recognize and appreciate their employees. And it's just fun for me because I'm able to do it, right? Because it's what I've been trained to do. So there are many transferable skills. So I encourage it. I think you're a critical thinker. When you are an actor or you are involved in any aspect of the theater process, you are a critical thinker. You are a creative thinker. You look at things from opposite sides. And I just think there are many areas. You could go into law after you study theater, literature. I just think podcasting. I just think there's a million things you can do. Those skills are with me every single
day. As an attorney myself, I could tell you there are a lot of theater people who go into law.
I know some.
Absolutely. And my father, I didn't study theater. My father studied theater and went into the insurance business, life and health insurance sales, right? So, you know, it's applicable in so many different areas. Sales is one of those things that you got to talk to people. Sometimes that's hard for people to do. Theater people you get a lot of practice talking.
Yeah. And again, the building relationships. I remember when I told my mom that I was going to major in theater in college, it probably was one of the best parts. Yes. You know, one of the saddest days of her life. Boy, she lived a great life. But
right.
She said to me, "But Al, you're so smart." But you know what? It really has served me well. Now, we all know very small percentage of people who major in theater, they may be able to exist doing theater, doing commercials, doing things, but a large set of them are not able to make a living unless they go into education, and they can certainly do it that way. But I have always felt whether I'm doing a community theater show when there are 10 people in the audience, or whether I was to do something where, say, there were thousands of people in the audience, it's about affecting change in one person. If I touch one person's life, if I make one person think a little differently about something or feel an emotion or whatever it is, that's what it's all about.
Right, right. Which brings us to people wanting to go feel emotions at Noises Off. Tell us about Noises Off.
Oh, my gosh.
Tell us about your character. So, who are you playing and all that?
Yes. Okay. So I play a character by the name of Dottie, who on stage plays a character by the name of Mrs. Clackett. And I was one of the few people in the cast who had never seen Noises Off, had never read it. I didn't know anything about it except that it was so well regarded and considered such a great show and on the bucket list of shows that actors should do. So I approached it like, what is this show? It's so different. It's so unique. It is so much fun, Matthew. I can't imagine another show that makes people laugh and just have fun as much as this one. And I just think the world today, coming off of COVID, life is hard, right? Life is really hard. And theater is great because sometimes you go see shows to learn. There are so many reasons to be educated. This show, Noises Off, you need to come see it if you just want to laugh and forget your troubles and just enjoy yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, that's great. So something else I want to know then is, you know, you said you've been performing for such a long time.
Yeah.
Like, what have been some of these other shows that you've been in, some of your favorites, ones worth mentioning? Because, you know, we get a lot of different listeners and there's definitely overlap. I think almost every guest has said, I've been in Hamilton or I've watched Hamilton. Everyone needs to see Hamilton. But a lot of times this is also a chance to maybe talk about like maybe a more obscure show that somebody maybe has not heard of that you've performed in or that you've seen. And like, tell us like what was cool about those kind of shows too.
Yeah. Okay. Well, if I look back on favorite roles that I've done, one of them that comes to mind is Sister Aloysius in Doubt. And that, as you know, was also a movie. And I played the role that Meryl Streep played in the movie. And so a really deep show, had to master a Boston-esque accent. Mm-hmm. And I always loved the challenge of an accent. That was a very powerful show to be in. I've done so many, and I should have had my resume right here so I could recall it. I did a show called Enchanted April, which is a very sweet play. There is a movie version. I played the role of Lottie, and it was just a lovely production. I've done a lot of shows lately at Harper College in Palatine. I've done a few stage readings at Open Community College. And it's always fun working with students. Yeah, I did a show called Anna in the Tropics, where I played someone from Cuba. And it was so cute because the cast members, many of them students at the college, were Latina or of Hispanic descent. But by the time the show opened, they said, I don't know how this is, but Alice, you have a better accent than we do. But that was because they spent their life probably trying to.
Right.
What was their accent,
right,
you know?
Right.
So, yeah, I think every show I've done, I've enjoyed every single one for different reasons. During COVID, okay, so here's the thing. In 2020, in March of 2020, I was doing the role of the nurse in the play Shakespeare in Love, all right? And March of 2020, as you know, is when COVID hit. By the grace of God, we were able to do our first weekend. The show was supposed to run 2 weekends. So we got to do 3 performances.
Yeah.
And then the college shut it down. Of course, they had to out of safety for the students. So at least we got to do 1 weekend of that. Then here's a funny story. In 2022, which, you know, COVID was still going on, I was in a production of the musical version of Sense and Sensibility. And we wore masks throughout the rehearsal period. And suddenly, 2 nights before we opened, we took our masks off. I went on stage. I couldn't remember a single line because all I was doing was looking around the stage, looking at the faces of the people that I had rehearsed with for 2 months and never seen, right?
Right, right.
So it was like, that's what she looks like. That's what he looks like. But we got to do it. No one got sick because you've heard of so many productions that had to be canceled or paused. So I was pretty lucky.
Yeah. Yeah. What about other people? Like, since you've been, you know, you're performing all over, you've been performing since, what'd you say, the 7th grade, you know, what did you hear of lessons from the pandemic that other, even people, you know, closely dealt with and went through as well in the theater community?
I just think to stay safe. You know, working in healthcare, I was probably a little over. Oh, no, I don't think I was overly cautious. I was in the reality of it. And so it was hard for me when people would say, oh, I don't believe it. I don't believe it's really happening. I mean, at the hospital I work at, when we discharge, say, the 100th patient with COVID to home, because remember, we went a year without any vaccine. Matthew, and people who were, you know, compromised with their health. I mean, we lived it every day, right? Every day I saw how many people were in the hospital, how many people had died from COVID. So it kind of kept me grounded, but I was never shy to wear a mask. And, you know, the big deal was washing your hands. So I was in the reality of this is something not scary. I don't want to say scary, but we need to take precautions about it.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember the before vaccine times because we had a little baby. We had a baby in the pandemic. And like, we were just like, well, what are we going to do? You know, and it was so hard. But then eventually things came around and look, we're all here now and, you know, everything's fine. But thinking of that kid now, because now she's older than 3, she's learning how to speak. So going back, a quick aside before I forget, you know, you mentioned your Boston accent. She's learning how to pronounce her R's now, and she's not really pronouncing her R's. And so just for fun, I have her say sometimes, Pakhtakhan Havad Yad, because this is exactly how she's got my kid's got a natural Boston accent right now. It's hilarious.
I love that. I'm telling you, I have a friend who directs shows. He's a teacher, and they did a Zoom performance during COVID, right? Where it was, I forget what Shakespeare show it was, and it was ingenious. Because he had people leaning over their little square to hand something to someone who then reached out.
Oh, that's good.
Do you know what I'm saying?
That takes effort because you don't always know how things are showing up on other people's screens. So that's something.
It was so, but talk about Zoom fatigue, even though we're doing this by Zoom, but you know, I know at work, it's a blessing to be able to do. And in fact, when I think about it now, Shakespeare Love, when we started that, we had a few Zoom rehearsals. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
But I, well, of course, being an actor, I love face-to-face. You know, that's where I get my energy from. But you know what? This is certainly Zoom and other means of virtual meetings and conversations. This certainly has helped bridge, right, during that time when we weren't feeling safe. So that's another reason to come see Noises Off. Mm-hmm. We can. There's no fear, or wear a mask if you want to. But it's just so great because during those 2 years, weren't we thinking, will things ever go back to normal?
Right.
And the one thing I hope we take with us is that don't take anything for granted. Don't take sitting in a theater for granted. Don't take being with a group of people and performing for granted. I don't want to ever go without that again.
Yeah, there's a lot of benefits to we could have had this conversation just audio, but it's great to see you when we're having this talk, which it's not quite face to face, but it's the next best thing. But yeah, I can't agree with you more that there's just that experience. And, you know, not having had it for a few years there really does help people appreciate it. So if you haven't been back to a theater yet and you're listening to this podcast, come see Noises Off. Please, please. It's going to be great. I know my wife and I already have tickets and I'm on the board. So I'm going to get to see like a rehearsal. So, but I'm still very excited to go. And from what I understand, because I've never seen it before either, Alice, this is going to be my first exposure too. Is it's one of these things that really does require, not require, but it's more of an enriching experience when you've seen it once and then you go see it a second time too.
Absolutely. I'm sure there will be things that, yes, it is. That's a good way to put it, Matthew. It would be an enriching experience. In all its comedy, it's complex. So I think that's a great idea. So don't just buy tickets for one night of the performance. Buy tickets for more than one. And I just want to put in a plug for Deerfield, for this group, Theater D and Deerfield Family Theater. Because I'm over 100 and have worked in them. I'm not over 100 and have worked. I have worked with a lot of theater groups and companies, and they are not all the same. And the welcoming spirit, the work ethic, the collaboration, so many things have impressed me in the time that I've been back with this group. It really is. It sounds trite, but it really is a special group of people. And, you know, there are a lot of community theaters who open and close and are no more. And I know the amount of work and the amount of people required to keep things going. So my applause.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, and at the time of recording, I don't actually know the answer to the question, but have you had a chance to like be on stage in Caruso yet?
Well, that's where we performed 100 years ago when I did Peter Pan and The Wizard of Oz, but I've been told it's been really updated, so I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, because this will only be like our third or fourth time in the new theater post-construction, so it's a serious upgrade, let me tell you.
That is so great. I remember the band room was one of the either makeup rooms or costume rooms, you know, the band room. And then there was a little, I swear, I think it was a broom closet that I had used as my little private space. So funny.
Yeah. So you'll appreciate the serious upgrade, I think, as will all the attendees if you haven't quite yet been back to a DFT performance or a Theater D performance. So just wrapping up here, just, you know, you talked about some of the favorite shows you've been in. How about when you, if you're able to do this, maybe you can't, just sit in the audience, take off your performer theater person hat and just sit back and enjoy a show. What's been some of your favorite performances over the years, even, you know, Broadway or it could be community theater, any shows that come to mind?
Okay. I hate to sound like everybody else, but of course, Hamilton was mind blowing in the height. Okay. Here's a funny story. A few years ago, I went to London as part of an acting class. And so all we did was theater stuff. And we went to the Royal Shakespeare, which is outside of London in Stratford. And, you know, when you choose at a certain time to go, you're at the mercy of what shows they have there. So we went to England and the show that we got tickets for was the most iconic American show ever, Death of a Salesman.
Oh, yes.
And I walked in and I thought, if I hear one British accent, I'm going to be furious. It was amazing. It was a fantastic performance. So loved that, Death of a Salesman. But I will say Hamilton. I will say, you know, there are musicals that just remain so important to, you know, I don't care how many times you see Fiddler on the Roof. It is a beautiful show. And it doesn't matter if it was written, I don't know, 40 years ago, 50 years ago. Now I'm trying, maybe longer. I don't know. I'm not sure when it came out. Maybe the 60s, 50s. I'm not sure. But there are just shows that last. And then there are shows who are great, that are great for a while, lose some of their relevancy sometimes. But I can't imagine Hamilton losing its relevance.
Yeah. And thanks to the power of the internet, we know it was 1964 that the musical came out for Fiddler on the Roof.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Matt. So I wasn't too far off. Yes.
Yeah. No, you were right in that zone. Yeah. Yeah. First production on Broadway, 1964. Yeah. There you go.
Oh, there are so many beautiful stories waiting to be adapted for the stage. That's another thing that someone with a theater degree could.
Adaptations.
Yes.
Yes. So with that, having just mentioned several musicals, I'm going to ask you a question I like to ask all our guests, and that is, assuming you could go see the show, because not everybody can, assuming you could go see a show, is it okay to listen to the music of that musical before seeing the show, or should you wait to hear the music for the first time when going to that musical?
I think anything you can do to enrich your experience is a great thing to do. I don't go to see a Shakespeare play without reading it because I have to presume that I may not catch all of the language or understand it. When I went to see Hamilton, and I thought downtown, of course, I had probably listened to the soundtrack many times. It did not spoil it for me at all.
Yeah.
So I encourage, I don't think it spoils anything to make yourself familiar.
Yeah. Great. Great. Well, Alice, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I'm really looking forward to seeing Noises Off.
I'm looking forward to doing Noises Off.
All right, Alice Brown, thanks for coming on the podcast.
My pleasure. Thank you, Matthew.
And that's our show. Please share this podcast to help support the work of Deerfield Theater. An even better way to support us is to go see Noises Off. Visit theaterd.com to purchase tickets. As always, links are in the show notes. And thanks again to Theater D's board, the production staff, and cast for Noises Off. Please follow us on social media and subscribe to our podcast on your preferred listening app to never miss an episode. Until next time, thanks to everyone who continues to support the arts. We'll see you at the theater.